Welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. It is me, Chelsea. Oh, God, I just inhaled two huge pieces of avocado toast, and I'm so full, but I'm also not, oddly. So this is another pregnancy episode. I'm 32 weeks to check in and let you know. A little over 32 weeks, a couple days. It's so funny. I'm so attached to the day count. So it'll be a little over 32 weeks when it's a Sunday and I just hit it on Friday. I'm so stupid. Anyways, maybe I'm not stupid. I'm excited. I'm correcting myself. I'm self-soothing and I'm going to be a parent. Wow. I wish I could just erase this entire first 46 seconds, but we'll keep going because I keep it real. So yes, my appetite has been ravenous this week. I feel like I'm hungry now, every 2 hours. So many aches and pains, up and down though, back pain, rib pain, the round ligament pain in my hips. I've started to kick up my workouts a little bit, oddly enough, as I've gotten bigger, with just doing more and I prefer to be just on a mat on the ground. I don't like standing workouts as much. I want the lazier on the yoga mat workouts. And I've been doing some more intensive yoga Pilates, videos on YouTube, which have been really great because I mostly was just doing walking and then stretching videos, but I've started implementing those more intensive ones and I feel my body getting more toned already. And it gives you that feeling that I missed that I didn't realize I missed when after a workout, you kind of have a sore body in certain areas that you worked and you just feel so much better and you're standing taller. And I'm fuck, I wish I did this the whole time, but it's okay. It's all good. This is where I am. And maybe earlier I couldn't do it. I'm also out of breath all the time right now. And every time I get up from bed, which is so hard, if I'm laying in bed and I'm trying to get up to go to the bathroom for the 10th time that night, I make all these noises. And Steven's are you okay? Are you okay? And Jagger, our dog's looking at me concerned. And I'm just I swear I'm not being dramatic and all of this is real. Sometimes I think Steven thinks I'm making up the way that I feel, but I'm not. So whatever. Anyways, taking lots of breaths here. This was such a fun episode because I had the two ladies from the pump station on, Corky and Cheryl. And the pump station was created in 1986 by Corky. And she gets into her whole story. So I'll let that be saved for the episode because she'll tell it way better than I. But it was so great to have them on. The pump station and Nurtury, there's a website, but there's also a store in Santa Monica in California. So if you are in LA, definitely go check it out. And I had heard about it originally from girlfriends of mine who were either babysitters or who have children of their own. And they're like, oh my God, you have to check out the pump station because they have classes, they have baby care 101, infant CPR, lactation classes. There's support groups for breastfeeding and new mothers. They have mommy and me classes. There's lactation consultants and they sell baby gear and tons of other stuff. And there's so many just interesting workshops and groups. They have hypnobirthing and tons of, they help you with your car seat, setting it up in the car. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to take them up on that. So I'm really excited that they're on here. And our first two sponsors today happen to be brands that you can actually buy at the pump station, which is so perfect. So let me tell you about them. And thank you guys so much for listening. First, let's talk about Spectra. This episode is sponsored by Spectra. Loved by families and lactation consultants worldwide, Spectra Baby USA breast pumps are designed to bring confidence and comfort in every moment of the breastfeeding journey. Made with natural nursing technology, Spectra breast pumps use a gentle suckling pattern for productive, comfortable, and successful pumping sessions that moms deserve and enjoy. Spectra Baby USA offers a full line of innovative hospital-strength breast pumps, perfect for you and your baby. Many health insurance plans do cover the cost of breast pumps, so for more information and to view exciting new Spectra Baby USA products, visit SpectraBabyUSA.com. All Spectra Baby USA electric breast pumps are hospital grade with suction levels of 250 mmHg or more. Spectra's exclusive natural nursing technology closely mimics the feeling of a baby at the breast using vacuum patterns that suckle gently to provide productive, comfortable, and successful pumping sessions that moms deserve and enjoy. All Spectra Baby USA electric breast pumps are closed system pumps, which ensures that breast milk is free of outside contaminants and prevents breast milk from making its way into the pump motor. Spectra's backflow protection is specifically designed to maintain the performance and efficiency of all Spectra breast pump models. Your purchase of a Spectra Baby USA breast pump includes free virtual support with an international board-certified lactation consultant to ensure that you always have the support you need for your pumping journey. Follow Spectra Baby USA on Facebook and Instagram at Spectra Baby USA for more information about Spectra breast pumps, weekly live breastfeeding education videos, and exciting product giveaways. And I got the S2 Spectra pump, the blue one, which I believe is wireless, which was recommended by all my girlfriends. So I'm so excited to use that when it's time because I'll be pumping. And this episode is also brought to you by Britax. So I was really overwhelmed when I was looking for what stroller and what car seat I wanted to get. And I found Britax originally because I was Googling best car seat 2022. I'm laughing at like whenever like you Google things and you want to find something, everyone's always like best blank of that year. Love it. I used to live with this girl. Sorry. Hold for a sip of tea. I used to live with this girl who was very like nouveau riche. And one time I saw her Google history and she Googled most expensive manicure NYC. And I was like, you dumb fucking bitch. Anyways, let's get back to the ad. Okay. So, and I was probably just jealous. I was like, I want the most expensive manicure. Okay. So I wonder what the most expensive manicure is. Probably like a $75 manicure, I would guess, if it's just polish and not gel. Okay. So anyways, I was Googling best car seat 2022. I came across Britax. I went on their website and I was like, okay, this is what I need because I wanted to get a travel system too. So I can take the car seat and put it on the stroller and make it like a seamless move. Cause I hear you don't want to wake the baby. So like by moving them all these different times and like, it's just so much easier. So what I got was the Be Free Premium and Be Safe Gen 2 Flex Fit and Travel System. So Britax has a rich history of more than 50 years protecting children on the roads around the world. So I have confidence in my choice. First off, the Be Safe Gen 2 Flex Fit and car seat is their most premium option, offering two layers of side impact protection, patent safe cell crumple zone, a European belt guide for baseless installations, and an anti-rebound bar to help reduce rebound rotation in a crash. The Be Free Premium Stroller offers a one-hand quick-fold extra-large storage basket with front access, no flat rubber ties, and an expandable ventilated canopy. The best part is the click-and-go adapters are included in the box, so the car seat clicks right into the stroller, which is exactly what I was trying to explain earlier that I wanted. And this particular Britax travel system offers clean comfort fabrics, which is wicking fabric that keeps the baby cool and dry, nanotech technology, which resists stains, moisture, and odor, and extra padding for premium comfort. So go to pumpstation.com/collections/Britax to get you the same Britax travel system that I'll be using. And the Pump Station has associates who are experts on baby gear. They will take the time to help you install the car seat and walk you through how the stroller works. We thank Britax for sponsoring the podcast. So let's get to the episode with Corky and Cheryl from the Pump Station. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm so excited for today's episode. I'm here with Cheryl and Corky from the Pump Station. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for inviting us.
So I will let you both introduce yourself because I know you'll do it better than me. And sometimes it's so awkward when I'm like butchering an intro. So
well, I do that when I moderate panels.
So tell me about yourselves and tell me about the Pump Station and we can kind of just take it from there.
So I'm the founder of the Pump Station, one of them. I am by basic profession a nurse. I'm an RN. I have a master's degree in maternal newborn nursing. And early here in my career, I was a Lamaze teacher for years and years. And the Lamaze teachers were asked to rent breast pumps back way, way back, like 45 years ago. And they were these big monster breast pumps that you needed a luggage cart to carry, but they were effective. And that was the first thing that had come on the market that was effective. So we rented those for the organization. And within weeks, I had 50 in my house. And it didn't make sense to keep doing that just to get a free book once in a while. So another woman and I started our own little business of renting pumps. And then about that time, the lactation credential became something that was available. So I went back to UCLA and earned my credential in lactation and later sat for the exam that then was built after that. I taught all over the country for UCLA's extension program in breastfeeding. And meantime, we opened the Pump Station and as one little room with a curtain, and it just grew and grew. And the need is so there. So later, I met Cheryl when she had a baby, and we brought her in as fast as we could. As the business was growing enough, we needed business help, and her background was in
business, which...
So you were a student initially?
Well, actually, no. What happened was... I came to the Pump Station in 2007. What happened, I'm from New England originally. Yes, I'm sad about Tom Brady. Okay, so everyone, I don't know how many people have asked me that this week alone, but I was a buyer for, you know, in Boston, and then I was a buyer for Target in Minneapolis, and then I was in Chicago, and then I came out here and was basically working with a toy company, heading up product development design, got pregnant, ended up going to my gynecologist at about 6 months, going, oh my God, what do I do, what do I do? And she was like, stop Googling, stop looking up stuff. She's like, go to the Pump Station. So I basically rolled in there at about 7.5 months pregnant and signed up for the prenatal classes. They didn't have room in the baby care class, but I got into the breastfeeding class. And what happened is I'm an older mom. I had my daughter just before my 42nd birthday. And she's one. I'm not lying. She's 14. And so, but what happened was I ended up, because of my retail background, I came into the store and I just like was like, whoa, this place is crazy. It's got like, you know, the products and how they select the products and these classes are phenomenal and stuff. And so I just thought it was a great little place. And so 2 weeks after baby's born, you know, I had a horrible case of mastitis. Horrible, terrible, awful, worst, like,
and can you
horrible.
Just explain what that is for That's, those
It's an
who
infection
don't
in the breast.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And mine got so infected to the point where it abscessed. Mm-hmm. And I had to have it drained. Mm-hmm. But what ended up happening is I ended up calling the store to ask questions, and this one answered the phone. And I said to her, so she told me, you need to do this, this, and this. And then I said, oh, by the way, I'd like to commend you on this, your boutique. I said, and I'm not speaking as a mom, but somebody with extensive retail and merchandising background. I said, it's, you know, it's amazing what you've done with this. And she's like, great, when can you come work with us?
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that.
And I said, can we let my boob heal? And then we'll set something up. And so about a month later, I basically came in and they ended up bringing me on as a consultant. And then they were looking for a COO and I was like, pick me. And, you know, and then I own a shareholder. And then basically in 2014, Corky was looking to step back a little bit. So my husband and I invested in the business with her basically staying on board because she was the matriarch, the founder. And basically she's the brains behind the parenting education. I'm a business person.
Well, I think that's what's so important about the Pump Station. We started with running pumps. And then everything else came after. We became lactation consultants, and it was just much more than that. And so we had a hard time with the name, so we added "and nurturery" mm-hmm. later on. So it's the pump station and nurturery, because we not only offer classes, but the merchandise that we choose carefully. And now this last few years, we have added gear, and we have a specialist in gear. So you can come into our store, and he can walk you through, and so can most of our staff, which stroller, which car seat fits in your car, how to use it. He installs them. If you buy it from us, you get it free. If you didn't buy it, you can still come and pay a small fee and learn. And not only are you getting it installed, you're learning how to install it in your own car. So we're all about the education piece. And we, of course, have Mommy and Me and Parent and Me and CPR and breastfeeding and baby care and support all the way around. So because this venture that you're on, as you already know, is there's a lot of information, but it's hard to sort of get through all that information. Mm-hmm. I've also had three children, and I have two little grandsons that happen to live in Germany, so not as hands-on as I'd like to be, but I've walked the walk and talked the talk. And plus, we stay up with what's going on in the world today, go to the product shows, people are on us every week to try to carry their products. So we're just always,
understatement.
Always on, finding out what's available and why it's good or not good for that matter. So,
yeah, there is so much information to learn. It is so overwhelming. So I love that you've created such a one-stop shop where, you know, you can get the classes, you can get the gear, you can just kind of get like all of your questions answered. Because I know that when I got pregnant, I was like, and I'm 32 weeks today, I was just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
You're not alone.
I still don't.
Well, and you know, coming to a class, you're just not going to answer all your questions, but it puts you on a path with your partner mm-hmm. to say, oh, I never thought of that. How's that going to work? And what's that going to be like for us? I don't like that idea. I don't like pacifiers. But they said some babies really need them. And so it gets you started on conversations. We also have grandparents classes.
Oh, that's so cool.
We were just on the Today Show 2 weeks ago talking about that. Mm-hmm. Maria Shriver is a grandma now, and she was doing that piece. And what was fun is that grandparents need to know what you're learning, because then their day they did it differently. And it's shocking to mm-hmm. them that you're going to sleep your baby on the back instead of the stomach. So we have a grandparents class. It's kind of a little combination of breastfeeding and baby care to sort of tell them what's new today and what's different today. Mm-hmm. So we have all these different things for people to learn. And at least you're learning. You know, I'm going to tell you that Googling around is not always helpful. There's a ton of misinformation out there. So having a place to go to say, hey, I heard this. What do you think about that? Is really nice. And I even give all our clients my cell phone. They can call me and chat away.
I think a really, really important part, too, of that prenatal class process is the conversation that you may not have thought to discuss it with your partner. And so all of a sudden when, let's talk about vaccines, when you're choosing, it's like, okay, well, how do we feel about this? Because maybe you never had that conversation before. And then also when you're interviewing pediatricians, well, what's your position on it? And as you're philosophically aligned with, and even from the grandparents' perspective, again, making sure you're all on the same page. And if you're not, you know in advance you're not. So you're not having that conversation 2 weeks postpartum and everyone's, you know, tense because it's already difficult enough, you know?
You're talking about both a parent together and also the grandparents. Because the grandparents, man, you need support after you have a baby. You need advocacy.
Yeah.
And that your partner is going to be your advocate and we want those grandparents in that groove too so that they're understanding why, and so they're not saying to you, why are you doing that? And you go, you're too raw post-birth to discuss those kind of things.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's already discussed ahead of time. So it's really a valuable thing to do.
Yeah, and I'm such the kind of person who loves to prepare. Like, I already packed my hospital bag because I just love to have things done so I don't have to think about it. And it's fun, too, for
I'm
me to just fill
way.
A bag with things. But, and me and my husband just started having all of these conversations, and I want to learn more about, you know, the things that we need to go over together and get on the same page so we aren't, like, you know, when we're completely stressed out and sleep deprived, as I'm told I will be.
Right.
We know what's going on. We have a plan in place. Maybe that actually brings me to my first question. So many parents have recommended kind of creating that schedule with your partner. In terms of, like, everyone says, like, the first 2 weeks are like, you don't sleep for the, this is what I hear. You don't sleep for the first 2 weeks. You and your partner are going to hate it. But why does everyone make a big deal about the first 2 weeks?
Because I think it's because everything is so new.
Yeah.
And you, it's like, I remember walking in the door with my first baby, and I was already almost finished my master's degree in maternal newborn nursing. So it wasn't my first rodeo. I'd handled lots of babies. And I still walked in the door with this baby and said, where do I put him? I had everything ready, but do I put him down? Do I hold him? What? And so it's all new. And the babies are pretty quiet in the hospital. And you think, oh, I got an easy one here. And then you get home, and it's like the lights go out, and you think it's time to go to bed at 10 o'clock, and that's when they get up. Mm. So babies come from Australia. they're on jet lag, big time.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
So they're on the opposite schedule as you. So if you think about when your baby's the most active in utero, it's usually after you lie down in the evening.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they stay on that schedule.
Oh.
So
that's why everyone makes such a big deal about the room being dark.
Well, and you know, the fact is they're in darkness now.
Yes.
So they are, light is almost painful to them, especially bright lights. Also, they're in a very warm and a very noisy room right now. Okay. So your placenta makes such a loud whooshing noise, like whoosh, whoosh, that you turn off the lights and make everything quiet. Shh, shh, baby's sleeping, and the baby goes, where the hell am I?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's the noise that I hear on the Doppler.
This one.
You're recreating, yeah. You're recreating, so the womb.
That's why.
Basically.
Oh, baby shusher.
There's
yeah,
one
you
in
got, you got
a
crowd.
Oh, my God.
So this is the sound like a parent shushing. And then there's a second sound that's the ocean. And then when the baby quiets a little more, there's the heartbeat.
Yeah, it's the sounds of the womb.
Oh, wow.
So the baby's in a womb that is tight, noisy, dark,
wet.
Warm, wet. We don't keep them wet, but that might work. But
yeah.
So better to know some ways to calm and settle that baby and to get through that first night, but to expect that she is going to be up in the night for several hours. So babies have, they don't come on a schedule. Mm-hmm. If we try to put them on a tight schedule, they may not thrive because some babies need to eat 11 times a day and some only 8.
Mm-hmm.
So breastfed babies need to be feeding at least 8 times in 24 hours in the first weeks, and most of them are feeding more than that. So 8 to 12 is normal. And there might be a feeding and half an hour later they want to feed again, and you go, how could that be? But it's normal.
Yeah, because I hear that every 2 to 3 hours.
But it doesn't look like that. It'll look like, once a day, by the time your baby's 2 weeks old, babies will have what we call, the parents call it the witching hour or the cocktail hour or grandma's hours. We call it the intensive parenting hours or the marathon feed. So a baby will be on and off the breast during that time. We encourage moms to get up some good stuff on TV to watch. And by that, it has to be stuff that's positive. Can't be watching somebody's kid get murdered.
Right. I know. I've been so sensitive already to what I've been watching throughout pregnancy. I haven't wanted to watch anything scary, any drama. Like,
even politics.
I just want to watch like fun, easy, Real Housewives. Just, but Real Housewives is drama, actually.
You just made me.
But if it makes you laugh, you know.
When I was pregnant,
yeah,
my husband and I went to see Tenacious D.
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
and I had to leave the room because I was afraid. Like I was like
the noise.
Well, just the sound and what they were saying. I was like, oh my God, my baby can hear like everything Jack Black is saying, and I was like, I need to go.
Psychologically, postpartum moms can't tolerate that stuff, so you have to watch lightweight stuff,
right?
Sex and the City or Food Network and even politics, if that bugs you, don't watch it. You know, it just, so you've got that, so that your partner calls and says, hey, I'm on my way home, and you say, well, this baby's been on and off me for the last hour, and he says, sure, it's the marathon, you have a seat, keep nursing, I'll be there in a few minutes. You know, that kind of thing. In the first couple of weeks, it can happen at 2 a.m. and then my baby might, so it's the baby's wakeful time. It's not really about food, it's about I'm awake, and you are 100% the entertainment committee in that phase. It isn't until 3 and 4 months when babies look at mobiles and start reaching for things. But those early phases, they need to be nurtured. They're born 12 weeks early. We're the most immature of all placental mammals. And so we need to be almost back in the uterus. So that's all how new parenting really is best handled, is close and tight and warm and noisy. And so we teach parents how to do all of that. But yes, your first night's home, the first night home is considered the night from hell.
My friend was saying the first night home too, she was like, we got home from the hospital and they were like, what the fuck are we doing? And she said her baby would not stop breastfeeding.
Yep.
Like like every half hour. Yep. And they were like, it's okay. Like she just needs.
And knowing that ahead of time, you put your feet up, your partner brings you some soup and a cup.
Yeah.
It's just people taking care of you. You know, the other thing, Chelsea, is that suddenly the focus shifts from you to the baby. Mm-hmm. And that's a psychological shift that's hard on mothers. And you feel like a big old blob. Because you certainly don't have your figure back yet, and you're tired, mm-hmm. you're bleeding, you're mm-hmm. Not nipples, but
you have the
postpartum bleeding, and you might be in pain in some ways, and uncomfortable, and tired. And what we want your partner to hear is that their role is to support you and to tell you how great you are and how great you're doing. Mm-hmm. Bring you food, bring you Kleenex when you cry, keep the water coming, and tell you that what you're doing is good. What mm-hmm. you're doing, and not to question what's the matter with this baby. Mm-hmm. Then why is he nursing? Just put him to the breast again.
Yeah.
So the more open-shirted you are, about bringing your baby when that's what your friend. Mm-hmm. What was her name? Alex. What she needed. Yeah. And she just did it. She put her feet up and she nursed through it. And then mm-hmm. we're going to teach you how to calm and settle as well so that your partner can, what's your partner's name?
Steven.
So he can take a turn and say, let me wear the baby for mm-hmm. a little while in this wrap thing. Mm-hmm. So knowing how to do that ahead of time so you have all these little tools on your tool belt makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And knowing it's normal makes it so easy.
And another thing, we say first 2 weeks now, for me, my mother was there for 2 weeks. So when she left, I thought my head was going to explode. And that's where I rolled in. That's, again, when I was just starting my relationship with pumps, I rolled in and they handed me the happiest baby on the block book. And that saved my life, like from that point until I got on board with them.
And but how many times we hear that something they learned through the baby care class was a game changer for them. Mm-hmm. I had a dad tell me the shusher was a game changer for them. And I can even show you a couple of positions. I hope you're going to come to class because it's
100%.
Fun.
Yeah,
so
I love it.
And,
I love
your partner learns too at the same time. And that just saves a lot of you saying to him, well, this is what works for me. No, you hear it together. And then he finds his path. You find your path. Because it might be different. Baby responds differently to one person as to another. Mm-hmm.
You know, when your podcast with Alex, which, by the way, I was impressed with how knowledgeable she was.
Yes.
You know, every day we get questions and there's a lot of times where we just cringe when we hear certain, like I did this or whatever, but you've got a great friend there. She's got a lot of great experience and she gave you a lot of great advice. One of the products that she mentioned you may not need was the exercise ball.
Oh, yes.
So the exercise ball.
Is the birthing ball?
Yeah, the birthing ball.
You're going to need it.
Wait, I do need
time.
That?
Yes.
Wait, I'm so glad you brought that up because
I've got to tell her that.
Do I need it now? When do I start with that?
Well, you might need it at birth, but you need it with a baby. Because one of the things that soothes babies is motion.
You learn about this in baby care.
And their favorite motion, our favorite motion, although Harvey Karp, there's two that I love and that work just brilliantly, bouncing. So we have our baby on our arm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm on camera, but the baby's here.
Yeah.
And you're bouncing on the yoga ball.
Mm-hmm.
So the harder the baby cries, and we're going to swaddle with our hands, and we're going to bounce on that ball until your hair's flying. Yeah. So if the baby's crying loud, you got to go big.
And this is a more aggressive bounce than a rocking chair rock.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Different.
It is.
Yeah.
But the head is moving, and we call that lolling. Yeah. So this is shaken head syndrome.
That's scary.
That is horrifying and dangerous and damaging, but not this.
Okay.
So the second thing is jiggling. So the head is jiggling when we're doing this, lolling. Your baby's head will loll. Another, men can do it, I think, more easily this way. And this movement, Jell-O on a plate, is very calming to babies. Because think about it, Chelsea, in utero, every breath you take, I sing that to mothers, every breath you take, every move you make, that baby is moving inside your uterus, jiggling.
So they're used to, yes.
Yeah, and so it's really calming. And so we love the yoga ball for that reason. So it can't be the kind in the gym that are smaller. Mm-hmm. So we need it. So I use a 75 centimeter, I'm 5'7", 5'8". And you don't want your butt below your knees.
Okay.
So and it's got to be loose. So
with
you
the way
really
that it's pumped up, you mean?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Firm.
And you buy them by centimeter size. So depending on how tall your partner is, you might need two different balls. But man, that is a game changer.
He's only an inch taller.
And you can also put baby in the carrier. You put baby in the carrier and bounce. And
okay,
the other
great
thing, again, I learned from this one was that my daughter hated getting in the car seat. Hated it. I would be in tears trying to put her in a car seat. Mm. And so what we tell people, too, is if you're going to go to the car and baby's freaking out, put them in the car seat safely, the infant seat, and just bounce it gently on the exercise ball.
Or jiggle the back of the seat.
Right.
Just so you get that. So I do that every day when I'm working. We're putting the baby in the car seat after we've done a lactation consultation, and the baby starts to cry because you're bugging them. They hate being disturbed.
Yeah.
So we get them in the seat, get the, and they're crying. And I put this right beside them and shush her. And then I take a hold of that seat. I either bounce it on the yoga ball or I take a hold of the back and jiggle. And in 10 seconds, the baby's quiet again and goes to sleep. And the parents are like, what the heck?
We these and the exercise balls around the store. And literally people, someone will walk in and the baby starts crying. We just turn it on and we say, can I borrow that? And we take the car. And the parents just go like,
it's like a magic trick.
It's magic. Yeah. It's magic.
And then is that also the same sort of idea with like a baby Bjorn bouncer or any other brand
bouncer?
You have
one of the bouncer, right?
Yeah, I do.
They're
love
one of my favorites.
Love it.
the newborn doesn't move enough to get that to jiggle, but you can do it
with
your hand.
With,
and then as they get older, I love that. Okay. It also puts a baby on a semi-recline. Mm-hmm. And the baby also, I love the Bjorn because it has a soft netted back, which cups the head better than flat surfaces, so it lessens the risk of flat head syndrome.
Okay.
I mean, the most.
I want to know more about that, too.
Okay.
Because.
This is going to be a fun day, I can see.
Yeah.
No, I had seen a photo a girlfriend of mine posted years ago, and her baby had a little pillow. And I was like,
What's the baby move?
Oh, and then I was like, what's the pillow for? And she said, so they don't get flat head syndrome.
Yeah,
and
not
then another
friend
of mine just told me that he had twins and one of his baby's heads, I guess, has flat head. So I'm just wondering, is there something that I need to do now or
knowledge?
Or is it switching the side?
They're going to move their head the way they want it.
Yeah.
And some babies have some damage to a muscle in their neck, and that's called torticollis. It's from birth. And those kids can't move their head. So we watch for that. If you see your baby always in the same position, then you might want to ask your pediatrician about that. Mm-hmm. And then we might send you to a physical therapist for that to work on that. There are specialists in that field. Having trouble drinking?
Yeah, I know. I spill on myself. I'm like, I'm such a mess now.
No, you're not. You're so cute. But the other things we can do. So today's babies are on their back a lot more than when I raised my kids. Mm-hmm. We were told in that era that if they slept on their backs, there was great fear that they would aspirate, spit up, and die. I mean, it was that severe. And then the research came along that showed that the risk is far greater when we're on our stomachs for sudden infant death. So, in fact, the research was so profound, they had to stop the studies to get kids out of the control group. So babies are safe on their back. Babies have a safe swallowing mechanism. They don't aspirate. Mm-hmm. And without explaining that clinically, we don't have to worry when they're on their backs. But now these kids are on their back all the time. Mm-hmm. So they're back in the stroller, on their back in their crib, on their back everywhere. So one of the keys to not having flat heads is to get them out and wear them. Mm-hmm. So wearing babies a great deal of the time really lessens the risk of flat head. And there are some causes, like I mentioned, like a baby that's born premature and is in the NICU for weeks. They're more likely.
Tummy time
is super important.
And that's once they start rolling.
Actually, I start them right away. So I encourage parents, once you get your feet under you, no guilt if you say, you get to the 2-week mark and say, oh my God, we never did any tummy time, we're ruined. No, but when you can remember to do it, flipping them on their tummy at each diaper change and letting them just squirm. They don't love it usually, and they might start to cry, and then we flip them back. So get them on there.
Just
and then,
like a little taste.
Just a little taste.
Yeah.
And then lay on your back with your head, maybe just one pillow, but lay flat and put your baby on you, on top of you on their tummy. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily while they're sleeping, but they crawl around and do that multiple times every day. Mm-hmm. And then as they start to get a little older, you know, get on your floor in front of them and talk to them. When they're reaching, you put toys out there for them. So it builds strength in their core and in their shoulders and neck, so that when they do start to roll over, which they'll do better if they have that core strength, they're safe because they can lift their heads and turn them. You're going to be amazed that Gia will be able to pick up her head and turn it side to side the day she's born.
Oh,
One of the things I learned, Dr. Jill Campbell is our curriculum director for the Mommy and Me program, or Parents and Me program. And what she even talked about as far as tummy time, I always thought it was just, again, like putting them on their tummy, you know? And what she also talks about is even just having them on your shoulder, facing, and somebody, you know, dad could be behind them, your partner could be, and just making faces, and they start to push themselves up.
And that's to strengthen the neck muscles
and the core,
and the
too.
Back. Or the core, okay.
Both, right?
The muscles on the sides, et cetera, so that they'll be able to roll when they're supposed to. They don't roll until about 4 months purposefully. They can roll themselves over accidentally prior to that time, but that's why we always, you know, change them and leave them alone on the dressing table, or, you know, we just don't do that because they can flip themselves accidentally, get their foot just in the right place, and boom, over they go. My little grandson did that at 2 weeks, twice.
Yeah, that happened then to never a friend again. Of mine as well.
Yeah, so we just want to be always careful of that. So did that answer your questions about tummy time?
So another question I have is, so I always hear, like, I'm going to be breastfeeding, you know.
Yes,
I hope
you
it plays
are.
Out, you know. I hope there's no issues with it.
So
I
guess what the leading thing that will help you be a good breastfeeder? Your intention to do so. And you have that already, so you're there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So it's already in me.
It's already in you.
So what I'm wondering is, I always hear that, or not always, what I've learned is that, so the mother should be breastfeeding only for like a certain amount of time before a bottle? Is that
we suggest, yes. We suggest letting your breastfeeding get established. You know, there's reality and there's ideal. So when I'm teaching idealism, but I blend the reality in, because sometimes a doctor will insist that you give a bottle of some for a reason in those first 2 weeks. And so we say that way. But to say, I wonder if my baby's getting enough, I'll just chuck in a little bottle. We would say, no, wait 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm asking this because at night, if I'm scheduling with my husband and he's going to be doing the night shift, so to speak, is he able to feed the baby?
Not till 2 weeks,
okay,
hopefully.
So
then, Chelsea, you still have to get up to pump. Because you see, milk is made.
Damn!
Milk is made. So if you, normal anatomy and physiology, if that's given, then what happens? So after you give birth, there's a big hormonal shift in the hormones of the placenta, et cetera, that we're keeping the hormone that makes you make milk, prolactin, keeping that low. Now those are gone, and now prolactin rises, and you know that by the second to fifth day, there's a change in your breasts, and moms call it milk coming in. It's there from the time you're 20 weeks pregnant, but it's increasing now at a fast rate. But from that point on, once that all that hormonal shift, you have normal breasts, normal anatomy, normal physiology, what drives your milk supply is the removal of milk. So if you don't remove milk, your milk's going down.
Right. So and that can also lead to infection too, right? If you're not
if you get them gorged,
yes,
yes.
That happened
ducts.
To my mom, by the way.
Medically called stasis. You don't removing milk, you get. So we would suggest that if your partner wants to be involved in the feeding, which they do.
I was just hoping to get some sleep.
Yeah.
So,
well, and maybe
as the baby, so I might as well just be up doing it then.
Might as well. Or but we want to include those guys as partners as they want to be. So sometimes the mother puts it at the time of day that works for you and your husband. We recommend not more than one bottle a day because babies will often go. Now, I heard Alex say her baby wouldn't take a bottle, so we've got to find the balance here. So we say, once you start, stay consistent with it. Do it at least 3 times a week, but not more than once a day. Now, I get, again, reality pops in, and you have an appointment. You have to give 2 bottles that day, but you got to take your pump with you because otherwise you're
exploding.
That and your milk's going to be going down.
Okay.
And keeping up milk is a constant work to do. So, but what if you fudged it around a little bit and said, God, babies, we only expect 1 3-hour stretch of sleep from babies.
Okay.
And then as maybe your baby starts doing a 4-hour stretch by the time they're 3 weeks old. Great. You get to do that. But what if you said, I'm going to die if I don't get 5 hours in a row. So just this once, I'm just going to sleep a little longer. And then you wake up and you pump a little later. So maybe you can buy yourself you can fudge around a little bit, but you have to be you have to be aware of what I told you, that, and what all moms need to know. Well, a lot of moms don't know that, Chelsea, that if we skip feedings, their milk's going down. And then they're on the phone with us saying, what happened to my milk supply?
Yeah.
So
you know, no matter what, we're waiting at least 2 weeks before we introduce a bottle.
If you can.
And so that point, we're not even pumping then until
no.
After
but you know what?
Weeks.
Get out your pump and play with it a little bit.
Okay,
so
I,
that you
I
know how to work
do that
it.
Because I don't want to feel overwhelmed.
What
like,
pump
I don't
are
know
you? Do you have?
I was going to say we should. What pump are you using?
I have the S2 Spectra.
Oh, okay. Good.
And then I have the Medela bra, pumping bra one.
Mm-hmm. The Medela pumping bra?
Yeah.
They have the bandeau top?
Or I put a Simple Wishes in there. That's the pumping bra in there that we love.
Oh, really? So,
but it's actual, it's a Medela pumping bra. Or is it a pump?
It's the pump, and then I have the bra with it. Oh, so the pump
that comes... Elvie or Willow?
No, okay. It's from Medela.
It's fine. Sent it to me. I mean, you Medela's can send me a picture.
Pump. Yeah, and then I have the S2, which I know everyone loves. Yep.
You have the S2. That's not the one with the battery.
It's the blue one, the wireless one.
You have the S1.
I'm going to put my phone in airplane mode, sorry.
S1 is the wireless one, I believe. Okay. The
blue one is the
wireless.
Yeah, it's got an internal battery that... You recharge. Yeah. It's fantastic. We equally like Medela Pumpin' Style and the Spectra. Mm-hmm. Those are our top recommendations for receiving from your insurance company.
Yeah.
Can I just say this, even though you didn't bring it up? I just want the world to know that the in-bra pumps, Elvie
and Willow,
they have their place, but they cannot be your primary pump. They're made to sound like better than sliced bread. They aren't. Mm-hmm. And we see most moms getting far less milk with them. So, there's always outliers. But I also find the further a mom goes out, the less effective they are. Mm-hmm. But so say there's a mother that a pediatrician, I had one that used the Willow during her work day for some of the, that's where she could not have otherwise pumped, but she again said, I get about half the amount, but it's better than nothing because I'd have to skip otherwise. So they have their, they're expensive, but we sell them now as an add-on. And we tell every mother and every, you know, I run a support group. Two weeks ago, I had a mom on that said she'd lost her milk.
It's virtual.
And that she was only pumping dust. That's what she got. It was the funniest statement. When she got, I told her that probably could be her pump. So she went and got a Spectra immediately. Mm-hmm. First time she pumped, she got 5 ounces. Oh. So there's a big difference between them. And they do have a purpose. I'm not dissing them, but they're made to sound like they can be your everything.
Right.
And then mothers are going
to sell it with like a convenience point. Like you just throw it in, you don't have to think about it kind of thing.
But there's so much marketing behind it that people don't...
They don't get
how good,
and then they think think they don't have a good milk supply.
What about that? And I'm going to butcher the name. Haka.
Okay,
what about that one? The one that's like sort of
love the Haka.
And you just put it on one.
Medela has a new one that's similar that I love because it has a better power spout. It has a neck cord, so it doesn't fall on the floor when the baby kicks it.
Okay.
The thing about the Haka is that it's just this little cheap silicone. Right. They call it a pump. We don't use it that way so much, but it can be very misused. Mm. So you actually vacuum it onto the breast and it just hangs there. And so some
and
of them find that painful.
Right?
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
It just straight suction. But mothers have been using it on their second breast while baby's nursing on the first side. Well, that takes away the milk the baby was going to get. So we've seen babies falter in their weight. So we suggest not doing that, but rather hang it on the third breast. Now, What's your third breast?
This is Quirky's trick. The third breast.
You nurse on the first side. When you're on the second breast, you put it on the side you already nursed on.
So
and we call that the third breast. Or you're careful to only take out a small amount if you're doing that extra. So moms love it because it can be something that you do while you're nursing. But just be careful because if you're a mother, some mothers have so much milk that they're only nursing on one side.
Dairy queens, we call them.
Yeah. And the 40% of mothers fit in that category that they're using one breast only part of the day. So the highest volume times of your day are 2 or 3 in the morning. So milk is circadian. Mm. We have a high volume in the middle of the night up into the early morning hours and then lower volume in the afternoon so that babies can do that marathon feeding that they do in the afternoon. It's normal to be that way. So the best time to pump might be in the morning. So let's say you have a mom that is a great producer, only uses one breast. Maybe once a day she hangs the Haka on the second breast. But if you're a two-breaster, I was always a two-breaster, a more moderate, sometimes a three breast back and forth. If I'd have hung that on the second breast and then put him there, he wouldn't have gotten enough milk. So I want him to feed first, and then I can use the Haka on my third breast while he's on the second side or the first breast again. So does that make sense?
I think so.
So I'm saying don't use it on the breast your baby's yet to nurse on.
Okay, yeah, put it on the third.
Right.
Yeah. Right, that makes sense.
Until you know who you are.
So there's leftover.
Yeah, so until you know who you are.
And then how do you know how much time to spend on each breast?
Well, it's variable, so you're going to have to get to know yourself a little bit and your baby and your milk supply. So the range of normal used to be, we'd say, it's 10 to 20 minutes on each breast, but it's bull. That's not true. Mm-hmm. So for some of women, it is. But for some, it's less than 10 minutes on one breast because they're just dairy queens. Unfortunately, the babies don't love that. They would like to nurse longer. So those babies might need a pacifier, which is heresy in my field. Mm-hmm. But it's the truth. And other mothers with more moderate production might be as long as 30 on a side, but maybe they're back and forth, 10-15, 10-15. What I get annoyed by is when somebody gives moms a directive, it's got to be 15 on a side. And that baby stopped even sucking by 7. It was silly. You can sit there and enjoy your baby, but moving them will help them. Will help them get more milk. So if your baby's not doing anything, it's okay to shift them. And in doing that, you kind of discover who your baby is and how long it takes. We have fun. We can measure what a baby takes at rest.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to jump in and say is, again, I'm not a parenting expert. I'm surrounded by them. And I learned so much over the last 14 and a half, almost 15 years in April. But there are experts and there are not experts. One of the things that has exploded in this world with influencers and momfluencers, et cetera, is there are a lot of people out there who have the microphone and the voice to say, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, this is what. And they're not always giving you accurate.
Who do we trust?
Trust the experts. Yes. And that's what all of our lactation consultants, I believe all of them are registered nurses, or they've got years and years of experience as international board certified lactation consultants. All of our instructors are specialists in their field. So, for example, I've had people try to, will you come on and talk about breastfeeding? I'm like, nope, not me, her. Yeah. There's things I can because I've listened and I've heard so much, but I am not a breastfeeding expert, but I'm more than most of the people out there talking.
Mm-hmm. Enough to pick up what's being said that's
exactly
not correct.
Exactly. So when I hear things, and I'll be like, oh, I can hear Corky's hair is right now standing up on him, But I think the part also that's so important that I continue to hear and again, I see and it works, is getting off to a good start. Mm-hmm. And what that usually means is taking the prenatal breastfeeding class. People come in and I hear every day because I'm on the floor with the moms. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to be any good at this. And you're just like so many moms.
Yeah.
And
I feel like people, it seems like it's something so natural that's just going to like
it is physiologically
figure it out in the moment. My but friend's like, aren't you afraid of it hurting? I'm like, I just feel like super maternal about it already. Like, I'm like, no, this is like life. This is.
Well, then it might hurt. I mean, here's
well, if it does hurt,
and then,
you need
that
to see
true
a consultant.
It's about the, that's because the latch is incorrect.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's, it's sometimes such a simple thing to fix. I was helpful to two moms this week who are still sore and just showed them how to latch deeper and boom, they were fine. So you're right. Taking the class first so you have a base of knowledge and beyond that, knowing where to go for help.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody on this podcast can't come to us because they don't live here. But before you give birth, find out where good lactation consultants live. Mm-hmm. Where can I find them? Ask your OB, ask your pediatrician who they use, ask the hospital what they have for services and do they have a follow-up clinic so that you can find those people. Knowing what's normal and what's not is hugely valuable. So to know that you might have tenderness when your baby latches and kind of a breath catcher, but it's fine in a minute. Yes, someone's sucking on your breast and you haven't had somebody suck on your breast 12 times a day, I suspect. there's this, a little wear and tear and where you can feel that.
Which is when the balm
chafing
comes
sort
in.
Of. Yeah. And then it should be fine. But if you're in agonizing pain with Vicodin needed and bleeding and scabs,
that
is not normal.
Wow.
It can for some women, but it's not normal.
So bad that it just.
Yeah, my mom was like, it was horrible. So
fever, everything.
Is there a way to prevent that?
Yeah, the leading cause of mastitis is an open wound in your nipple. Okay. So making sure that you get the help you need right away, not waiting when some neighbor says, well, everybody's sore and it takes a few weeks. No. Get the help you need right away so that we can get that wound done.
Close. She'll be on speed dial.
Have I ever taken a baby off the breast and said, you need to rest this for 2 days, and then we go again, but you'll pump through it? Yes. We have to protect the milk supply during these times. Mm-hmm. So having lactation people involved, when you take the class, you see me, you see Barbara, and we've got the whole list, and even somebody from New York can access us through a virtual consult. Mm-hmm. But finding who your helpers are. So the basic thing, take a class with your partner. So they can be the advocate and say, you know what, Chelsea, I don't think this level of pain is normal because he was there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what, Chelsea, I think you could tilt that baby's head back just a little farther and let them open her mouth just a little wider before you move. So you're right about natural, but it's learned. mm-hmm. natural physiology, but learn skills. Mm-hmm. So, and some moms have easy hand skills and easy time. Others really have to work at it, but it's worth the effort. I'll never forget. I had a comedian in our Hollywood store. I do the breastfeeding support classes, and we'd have 20 moms in there and babies. And this lady comes in dragging pillows and diaper bags, and she sat down. She was a comedian, and she just said, "If I have to do this fucking thing," and I mean, she just made the whole room howl with laughter. Yeah. And one mother, after we laughed and talked a little bit and what she was going through and kind of figured it out, and the other mothers were helping. That's the beauty of the breastfeeding support. The other mothers talk about their experience. Mm-hmm. One mother looked at her and she said, "You know what?" She said, "You don't have to like it."
Yeah,
but it's important.
Yeah,
it was like she taught the whole class right there.
Yeah,
and then we laughed some more, and we got help for that mother so that you don't have to drag a pillow around to a restaurant mm-hmm. if you don't want to. There's a right. way to nurse yeah. your baby with your legs crossed mm-hmm. and your diaper bag, and you know, there's just
like a little support yeah, for the diaper bag.
That's what I did.
Oh, okay. I never
we
thought
didn't
about
have
that.
When my oldest child is 49. Mm-hmm. Although I'm only 52, so it's pretty tricky, but I didn't have all this accoutrement.
Right.
And I nursed in, mm-hmm. I never thought I'd nurse in public. I was doing it in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I had a little
cake thing. I know, that's so funny, because I'm like, I don't imagine, I am not the type of person who would be normally afraid of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm like, I can't imagine me just like pulling my breast out and like feeding in public.
Mm-hmm. And you
but
won't, because it's, you don't
delivery.
Need to do that.
But then I
Which
know
your friend
I,
talked about.
Yeah, but then, but then I probably just won't give a shit.
You probably won't. That said, I never felt comfortable showing like my nipple parts. So
I'm not that girl, so I don't know where I'm coming from with this. Like, I normally
and think about your partner. Maybe he wouldn't be comfortable. So
like
you'll
I'm
learn.
Usually throwing it out there.
You'll learn how. And we have little nursing covers that
like
make it
boobs.
Easy.
Yeah.
And you also, let's say that you were going someplace where you didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Then you take. You,
Step
you,
away
you,
to the bathroom or
no,
wherever.
No, you take a bottle of express breast milk.
Oh, okay.
And you
Wait,
feed,
what's express breast milk?
It's pumped milk.
Oh.
So we call it express breast milk.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like
so,
that.
So, yeah. So you could take that and work around a pump somewhere mm-hmm. in your car or you know, if you're not going to be gone that long, it's not a big deal. So every mother can find her path through this.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's take a quick break from the episode to talk about Mustela. This episode is brought to you by Mustela. I love skincare. Would you ever expect anything less from me, your glorious host? Wouldn't you want me to have great skin as I'm talking to you through microphone? And I think the answer is yes. I can't wait to teach my daughter about skincare, the importance of it. Yes, we'll be talking about moisturizing. We'll be talking about sunscreen. I will be telling her about face masks, and we'll be doing them together, and we are going to bond. We're going to go to spas. Oh my God, I'm so excited. So, of course, I wanted to get her the best of the best. So I got her Mustela for all of her baby products that she'll be needing. Mustela has been by parents' side since 1950. They're a French family-owned brand and proud to be B Corp certified. Mustela offers the best of science as an expert in neonatal dermatology and of nature, as a leader in plant extraction, carrying unique collections made to respect all skin types. Their newborn essentials kit is formulated with avocado parasose, a patented natural ingredient specifically designed to help protect and hydrate a baby's delicate skin. Our formula... And by our formula, I mean Mustela's formula, is biodegradable and fortified with vitamin B and cleans thoroughly without stripping your baby's skin and scalp of its natural oils. I got a ton of stuff off their website. I'm super excited. I got the lotion, the cleansing water, the cleansing gel, the bubble bath. I can't wait for it to all arrive. And this episode is going to be released right before Valentine's Day, in time for Valentine's Day, for a special buy one, get one free sale on Mustela's hydration skincare made for both baby and mom, running until February 14th. There is a code, which is Be Mine, to save today. So go to MustelaUSA.com and use the code Be Mine to save today. We thank Mustela for sponsoring the podcast. Next, I want to talk to you guys about Baby Leto. Baby Leto is to me like the premier baby furniture brand. And I had been looking at Baby Leto cribs for probably like a year before I got pregnant. Because I love going on websites and just seeing like, you know, looking on like Pottery Barn Kids or West Elm Kids or Crate and Barrel Kids, you know, any store that I go to and as an adult with the kids word after it. And I love the look of Baby Leto cribs. And I've looked at so many different brands, but I think that they're just the most chic and clean and modern. So what I ordered was the Peggy crib in walnut, which is a mid-century modern styled crib, which just goes with the flow of what we already have in our apartment. I guess it's more of a townhouse, to be honest. I'm going to keep correcting the status of my home because I'm proud because we lived in a one-bedroom apartment and now we have a two-bedroom townhouse, and I will be correcting myself because we have a cuter home now. So I'm excited. Anyways, we got the Peggy crib in walnut, which is like a dark brown. It's Green Guard Gold certified, made from solid, sustainably sourced New Zealand pine. And again, like I said, it's mid-century modern. It's really cool. And it's also like a gender neutral vibe. So, you know, first we're having a girl, but we're hoping to have another baby after, hopefully a boy. Would love to have a girl and a boy. And then, so if we have a boy, this works for him too. And it's not too girly and it's very stylish and very cool. And like, we're trying to have a cool baby. Okay. So that's the crib we got from Baby Leto. And then we got the Toco, which is a rocking chair with an ottoman in boucle. And I'm obsessed with boucle. I have always wanted boucle furniture, and I'm talking about like that fabric boucle. So we got the Toco, which is the name of the rocking chair and ottoman, and the Toco, and it's kind of like this white slash gray slash black color. It's very cool, very comfortable. We can't get off it. We're already sitting on it. The Toco is Green Guard Gold certified as well. It's been tested for over 10,000 chemicals and passes the most stringent emission standards. Upholstered by hand in textured boucle fabric, they use foam in the seat, which is Certi Pure US certified. Certifying the foam is made without PVDE or Tris flame retardants, heavy metals, formaldehyde, CFCs, and phthalates regulated by the CPSC. The wood in the frame of this product is used from well-managed FSC certified forests, and the FSC label means that the wood has been harvested to benefit communities, wildlife, and the environment. So these are stylish and environmentally friendly products. So definitely check out Baby Leto. They have the cutest stuff, and I know that you'll love it. And last, guys, I just want to tell you about Bodily. Bodily, okay, so I love pre-planning. I've already packed my fucking hospital bag, okay? And I'm 32 weeks, and I think I have until 40. And I say I think because, like, it can go, like, a week or two earlier or later. I don't know. Some of my friends go until, like, 41. Some people go until, like, 38. We'll see, you know, when she wants to come out, she's coming out. Okay. But I wanted to get a really comfortable nursing bra and like a really comfortable postpartum panty. So that's what I was focused on. I came across Bodily, found them on Insta, and I got the Everything Bra and the all-in-one panty. So I'm going to tell you about those. The Everything Bra is developed with a lactation expert. It's designed for 24/7 wear from maternity and nursing, but you'll want to wear it as well after that because it's just so comfortable. It moves with you and your body as you transform through postpartum with adjustable straps and a hook and eye. It's made of certified non-toxic OEKO-TEX fabric, so it's super soft against sensitive skin. It's soft, stretchy, and coined Boob Clouds by Brooklyn Decker. It's named the best bralette for pregnancy by InStyle and most comfortable nursing sleep bra by What to Expect. So definitely check that out. I got it in gray. And then the all-in-one panty, which is packed away in my hospital bag, ready to go, is perfect for the postpartum period, no matter how you delivered, which I heard about. Ugh, I hear you bleed up to 6 weeks, and I don't want to, but, you know, it is what it is. I'll just slap a diaper on and breastfeed and chill. and you can also wear the panty as well in pregnancy. It's made of certified non-toxic Okeotex micromodal, so it's super, super soft. Again, sensitive skin, again, it's high-waisted to protect a C-section incision and soft to support a core in transition. It features a forgiving low-cut thigh and cheeky back view so you can feel covered up but still feel like yourself. So you're still feeling like a cute mom. And they also have these amazing cozy socks, which are designed to accommodate swelling in pregnancy and postpartum. They're called cozy socks for a reason. They're super soft and made of cozy cotton and super slouchy so they won't constrict swollen feet. Foam treaded so they're perfect for everything from labor and delivery to chasing toddlers. So definitely check out Bodily for all the postpartum cute little undie wears. And I think that's going to do it. Let's get back to our episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. And let's get back.
I didn't think I'd nurse in public, and I did. And I did it easily. But it also depends on your breast size, how easy it is to latch your baby.
Right.
Those things all play a role in how that goes.
Let's touch base on sleeping. getting the baby set up to sleep for hopefully, I guess, the first 3 months. Is it like they just do what they want to do and we're just along for the ride?
Well, mine did. But they do, so they're human.
Yeah.
And they are going to start sleeping better at night. But one of the things that's protected from SIDS, Chelsea, is the fact that breastfed babies actually have better arousal states. So it's important for them to wake up and to feed, to breathe. Mm-hmm. When they did studies of mothers and babies who actually slept together, which that's not what we're discussing, but babies and mothers interacted every 20 minutes. There was movement by the mother. She burped or she shifted, and the baby wiggled. And so that's really important. And we know now that babies need to sleep at least next to you in a bassinet. Mm-hmm. If not, then they hear you. The leading expert, James McKenna, on co-sleeping and sudden infant death says, if you're going to buy a baby monitor, turn it around so the baby hears you.
Hmm.
Because they need that to kind of wake up and move. But they will stretch out their sleep. So at birth, they only have 90-minute sleep cycles. And mm-hmm. they tie one of those together right away and give you a 3-hour stretch or so. But pretty soon they tie another one in and they'll give you 4 hours and then it's 5. So they do that pretty well on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not doing that, then you're the mother that, like I was, had maybe needed to feed my baby a little bit more often. But they still will start doing those night stretches. So being patient about that. Mm-hmm. The first 2 weeks, you're just barely keeping your nose above the waterline.
And I think also don't compare yourself. We hear, because with our mommy and me groups, our parent and me groups, people say, oh, my baby slept through the night. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, okay. Right.
Sleeping through the night could be 4 hours.
Yes.
And don't compare yourself, because every baby,
so
every mom is different.
Yeah.
And don't feel the peer pressure. We used to joke, because when we had our Hollywood store and we had our Santa Monica store, the Hollywood store, the babies woke up every 3-4 hours. Santa Monica store, they all slept through the night.
You know that reminds me of a story of a pediatrician in Santa Monica that once told about a couple. Each couple that came in just back to back had a 2-week-old baby. And the first couple, how's it going? And, oh, this baby's up all the time, constantly feeding. It's driving us crazy. We're just having the worst time. Well, how often is baby feeding? Well, every 2 to 3 hours, around the clock. What, longest stretch at night? About 3 hours. It's terrible. The next couple comes in. How's it going? Great. Everything's going so well. How often is your baby feeding? About every 2 to 3 hours.
So it's different for everyone.
So it's perspective on what's normal, too. So mm-hmm. I think what really drives parents crazy is thinking what they're supposed to be doing or what this baby's supposed to be doing, and it's not like that. Mm-hmm. So we are able to help you know your norms. So I think the important thing is having as much help as you can so you're not trying to do the food and the laundry and all of that.
Right.
So that you can sleep when the baby is sleeping. And some people say, well, I can't sleep in the daytime. Well, give it a shot.
Yeah.
If you're that tired, maybe you could read for a few minutes, doze out. Even 20 minutes can be a huge piece of sleep. And then if your husband can be involved, if men can stay home, or partners, I'm sorry, I need to say the right words here. If partners can stay home for the first couple of weeks so they can be involved in the care. My partner would get up at night And he would burp the babies and change the babies and bring them to me and bring me something to drink and crawl back in and say, is there something I can do to help? And I still am married to him.
Yeah. I hope so.
53.
Yeah. And that's so great.
It's like it was yesterday. But it didn't seem that hard to me. And I will tell you something else that I liked that sounds just bizarre. I liked the night feedings. Hmm. The house was peaceful. Hmm. I often would nurse in a rocking chair in the baby's room. And there was that little movie out at the time, American Tale. And there was these little mouse that sits up on the top of a house. And he sings, somewhere out there. And I just don't know why that always made me think of somebody else was out there nursing their baby. There was a woman-to-woman connection that I felt. Plus, there was nobody saying, I need a peanut butter sandwich. Nobody. I could be with my baby one-on-one at that time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, maybe I treasured it more with my third because it was the peaceful time of the day. So, was I ever tired? Oh, God. And, you know, when my third baby had a bad cold or something, the kids brought crud home, and I would be walking the floor all night. So I had those nights.
Yeah.
And there are times, Chelsea, when you think you're going to lose your mind if you don't get a break. And sometimes you just need somebody else to hold the baby, and you walk outside and scream a little.
Yeah.
Or you know what I used to dream about? I used to dream about having a hotel room by myself with a door, a hole in the door so they could shove gourmet food through. And I would have a view of the ocean and a stack of good books.
That sounds like my fantasy as well.
Yeah, that was my fantasy.
It's definitely my fantasy.
Going to the bathroom by yourself is a treat.
Yeah, that doesn't happen
anymore. I've heard about that.
Yes. So that's the reality. And
you can't just leave the baby in the bassinet while you pee?
You can, absolutely.
But there's a point where they're going to...
Is it because they're crying? Because you're leaving them...
They need you so much of the time that you just don't have...
I'm excited to be wanted.
Once they start moving, forget it. Like I said, my daughter, I haven't...
Because you're like, what are you up to?
Well, they just come in. Yeah. They're just like, you know...
But sure, you can have a shower. You can take... And when your baby's asleep in the bassinet, that's a great time to take a nap yourself. Or, you know, if you need to do something that you want to do, that's fine too. And I do think it's great to... if my partner was home and could care for the baby, I kind of like to go to the grocery store just so I could be away for a few minutes. And your friend Alex said, you know, it's a treat to go to the grocery store.
I love going to the grocery store already.
But you get the baby Bjorn carrier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I also have the Artie Pop one.
So it just never leaves your mind. I don't want you to think that it's negative. I had three kids. I loved it. Mm-hmm. If I could have a baby today, I would. I just think that too many times people say to you, oh, you're having a baby. Isn't that great? And there's none of the, we don't see because we're not near other people parenting. Mm-hmm. So we don't see the reality. Mm-hmm. And therefore we go into it unprepared and shocked, and then we find that difficult. If you're prepared, you don't find that difficult. Yeah. You know what you're getting into.
And it is all that perspective and attitude towards everything.
It is.
I think.
Your rocking chair story, the lady in the grocery store.
Oh, so
this is one of my favorite stories that she always tells.
Well, I have two. So one lady at my church said that I shouldn't buy a rocking chair. And I said, well, why is that? She said, because if you rock that kid, you'll always have to. Like he was an evil alien. And I said to her, I'm having a baby so I can rock him. So I don't get all wigged out about bad habits. Mm-hmm. I think I hear that all the time. It's just a bad habit. Well, you can always change things when you
decide.
Everyone
has an opinion, too. So it's like,
but rocking my kids, man, if I could rock my 49-year-old today, I would. And another time I had my baby in a carrier on the front, and this lady walks up to me in a public place and says, you know what? You're really squeezing that baby and suffocating him. And I said to her, how tight do you think he was in my uterus? She faded.
Good
she
to have the answers.
Yeah. You got to have a stop-by answer.
Yeah.
Because people are very willing to
share.
Everyone's
opinionated.
You shouldn't let your baby do this, and you shouldn't let... And that's that tone of voice that's just like, shut up.
Yeah.
Sick of it. You can't talk about attachment, basically.
Oh, and then what's your opinion on, like... a snoo or a halo or
I love
just
the snoo.
The feet on it are a beast. The halo.
I hear snoo. Yeah, everyone in LA loves snoo.
Do I think you need to buy the snoo now? No. I think you need to see who your baby is.
Okay.
That said, when it came on, I'm a Harvey Karp. I've known him for years and years.
Yeah.
He filmed his video in our store 20 years ago.
Oh, that's so cool.
Honestly, it's the first thing that's ever come along that's really different in that sense. And he's the one through his Happiest Baby on the Block that talks about these five S's that I've already talked about, the swaddle, the movement, the shushing. But those things are not something thing he invented. He just tied it up in a modern way and shared that again because they're important. So when it first came out, I thought, oh, no, nobody's ever going to get their baby up again. This is going to be awful. But what we've actually found is that moms kind and dads kind of get to know their baby a little better, and they know the different cries. And they are still I've only had maybe two out of thousands that actually baby wasn't gaining weight well enough because they were sleeping too much. That's just a rare thing. So I think if my oldest grandson, they lived in Germany, I would have helped, it would have cost me boatloads to send that thing to drop, but I would have because they had a really tough, tough sleeper. So I think he would have responded to that. So I think you see who your baby is. And if you can afford to do it, gosh, I think they could be helpful.
I would say 9 out of 10 of our clients speak, love them. So
everyone I know in LA loves them. People on in my friends back home in New York are like, what is this new? They've never heard
Although
of it.
Although when I teach, I ask, do how many of you already have this new? And I just had a class recently where only two did, but almost half will already be thinking about having it, and the rest are thinking about it. You know?
It's like the number one thing I've heard I absolutely need from everyone across the board.
Well, people worry about bad habits with that, too. They'll never sleep anywhere else. It's like,
initially,
so
but then everyone's like, but then it makes transition. You know, again, it's like everyone
they teach
has
you how
opinion.
To transition.
But it's good to know, like, what works for you and for your baby.
If we could have a snoo, we'd all sleep better. I mean, look at what everybody does on an airplane. When they're taxiing out from LAX and it's a half an hour before the plane takes off, everyone's giving you the cue sign. They're asleep with their tongue hanging out because it's vibration, it's white noise.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
It works. So it really works. So I'm a big, I'm a fan. But again, I think it's, well, see who your baby is, you may not need it.
A lot of, and when it initially came out, a lot of postpartum doulas and night nurses didn't like it because they felt it would replace them. And so so they didn't. But then what they're, again, people, they're finding also is that Dr. Karp is, they're doing research studies and they're finding that parents are getting 1 to 2 hours more sleep a night. So again, it's still, every baby's different. Yeah, parents different.
And is that a sleep sack?
This is the one that is, comes, the one that comes with the snoo has a little bar that fits into it.
It has the wings.
But this is the one called Sleep Pea. But I was going to also say in what she said that some occupational therapists, et cetera, don't like the hands at the side. It keeps them down so they don't get them up here. The babies, newborns, people say they're self-soothing. Well, they can't do that. This drives them crazy. By several months, yes. But they can't. This just, this is another breast going by and it drives them crazy. So keeping the arms down.
So are you speaking on sleeveless or sleeves?
I'm speaking on whether you're going to swaddle the arms down at the side. Or you, you can put them here.
That's a, the snoo sack is just like this. The difference is it has two wings that snap into the snoo.
So you put your baby in here and you wrap the arms at their sides with this. But you could, if that was a, you could put their arms here and still come across them. They might get them out more easily, and that's why Harvey Karp says put them at their side. But that's a bit of a controversial thing.
And so how old did they start with this?
They start with newborn.
Oh, okay.
Swaddling, right? Swaddling. And people who say, a lot of people say, oh, my baby doesn't like to swaddle.
They don't know how.
They don't know how. Babies love to be swaddled.
So even, it's... When you swaddle Chelsea and your baby's screaming in this, then you say, oh, they don't like the swaddle. But all you have to do then is just turn the baby on his side, face the floor like this in the swaddle and start to move and put the shusher on their back.
Or you shush.
Oh, on the back.
Or you
so
shush.
You're, now you're doing four of the five. The fifth one is sucking, so maybe they have a passy too.
Yeah.
So what? That's a game changer for parents when I show them that. And we show a video or two in the class as well. When I they say, see, baby's screaming. And I say, yeah, but finish.
Yeah.
Turn them on their side.
Now he's inside like, the womb. Create the rest of it.
It's like
light
switch goes off.
Yeah.
So babies have a fear of falling. And when they're on their backs, they're scared. So that's one of the reasons babies sleeping on their back don't sleep as well. So we're adding these pieces to help them. So they have a reflex when they're born called the Moro, M-O-R-O, or startle reflex. And when you take a baby and lay them down without a swaddle, they startle, even if they're asleep, and then they wake themselves back up again. So we want to minimize that startle reflex for them so they can stay asleep.
And is that also why I see videos of babies who are swaddled or, like, wrapped in an extra towel when they're getting a bath?
Probably. I don't
Is that
do
necessary?
That. No. I think it would be hard to bathe them.
Right.
I do have tricks to my trade in bathing babies, too. I like them to be down in the water more than a lot of bathtubs allow. So we sell one tub that has a little sling inside of it that I've worked with it. If the, a 7-8 pound baby will be all the way down in, so we want water up on their body. When they're sitting up, and they're, wouldn't you be cold?
Yeah, I have the Frida.
Oh, the Frida tub? Okay, yeah. That's new.
That's a new one, and I'm not, you know, I think you have to fill it up with a lot of water to get them in. But the thing about it, you can use it as a plain tub. Mm-hmm. And when you take baby care, you'll see me use a plain tub.
Okay.
We have another one that I like a lot called Tubimal that has this cute little mesh sling, and then it just becomes a plain tub. It has a lid, so it becomes the place to store the stuffed animals, and it's cute. So, but the Frida's new on the market, and we've played with it, and it's kind of a transitional tub. They have a lot of little tricks to growing up with that tub. So
Frida's a great company.
We'll see how you like it.
In there I for saw. You. Yeah. Now I can take it off my registry. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Frida is a great company. They have
very innovative
really,
and
really good product.
Fun packaging.
They have a new Shusher that's
I know I love the packaging.
That's square like this and a little flatter that we can't even keep it in stock. Just flies out the door. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So and they are new thermometer we love.
Yeah.
And is it better for the one on the forehead or in the under
your babies we can't the one on the forehead is not accurate enough for babies. Okay. So you need a rectal thermometer.
Okay.
And it has a rectal stop so you can't go in too deep. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
They just came up with I want to say 6 months ago or something. So, but usually your pediatrician will tell you to do the anal.
Yeah.
The other one does, early on is not right.
Mm-hmm. I liked your word. We call it rectal.
Yeah. So what about diapering? I've literally never changed a diaper in my life.
Do you
and I'll watch you
would
do
it. Would you like me to show you and then you do it?
I don't know if I could in terms of getting up. I don't want to get in the way of the...
Well, let me do it.
And then you
like
can
nervous.
Hand it to you.
I'm like,
and then
I don't know about... Yeah, yeah.
She can let's, show you and then you can do it.
Maybe we'll stay at our seats.
So let's pretend that this baby, Daisy... I'm just going to scoot her little outfit to the side, that she has her cord on still.
Okay.
So cords come off around 2 weeks.
Oh.
And we don't clean them or anything, but they can get really smelly.
Them?
Yeah. If they get smelly, if you smell something that smells a little bit like rotting flesh, it's the cord. And
Because you carry around a lot of rotting flesh.
Well, you have your garbage can lid.
Oh, I know that smell. Yeah. Oh, that's rotting flesh.
So I'm going to just...
Well, I'm glad that you told me that, because that would have freaked me the fuck out, and I would have been on WebMD.
Well, you would have called your pediatrician. Have you chosen your pediatrician? You're all set?
I have to. Los Feliz.
Is Rachel Kramer near?
She's on Robertson.
Rachel Kramer's phenomenal. There's a lot of great ones, but we love her.
I don't mind driving to Robertson for a great pediatrician.
So you tell her that I recommend it.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, there's others.
There's tons of great ones to work with, but we've done. Rachel's in that video with us.
So can you still hear me if I stand up?
Yes. Okay.
I can bend my mic.
Maybe,
up.
What if you lifted the mic?
Want me to hold
would
it?
That be?
Here, why don't I do this?
Okay, so I came
hold
across.
Hold on, can you hear that okay? Great.
So I came across, I opened up that diaper completely. Uh-huh. I'm going to take her clear out of this so you can see better.
Undress the baby.
Hey, Daisy, it's okay. So one thing we've learned from Jill and the psychologist is when we talk to babies, we don't say things like, you're okay. If they're crying, they're not okay. Mm. So we're going to give reassuring thought, like, I'm going to be hurrying and get you okay in just a minute, or you'll be okay
I'm
soon.
I'm going to get, like, you're like, taking the responsibility.
I'm going to hurry. I'm going to help you.
As opposed to
I know you're not happy right now, but so being truthful.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So I brought that up between her legs, and I've spread it wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to turn around a minute so you can see. Now, the cord is still on, and there's these little striations across the front of most diapers, something that shows you where to put the tabs.
Yes.
But we're not going to do that. We're going to ignore that for the first, till the cord is off.
Oh, okay.
She has a poop, yeah.
She does?
She has
a fake one?
Look at she has brown marks.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
That's the color of your baby's poop.
I've never seen that.
That is so funny.
The first stool is black, then it
I know.
Gets green. Okay, so I brought that between her legs, and I widened it out all the way, and I'm going to bring this tab.
And we're putting it over the cord?
Watch.
In a minute, we'll fix that. I'm going to open the tab, and I'm going to angle it down. So two things. It tightens the leg hole, and because they're liquidy stools on breastfed babies, very loose. I'm going to bring that down. This is while the cord is still on. Now I'm going to take that and turn it out.
Ooh, okay.
Now, in the hospital, the nurses often fold this in and tape over it, but it doesn't stick very well. Plus, this wasn't intended to be on skin, and it can make babies rashy. So once the cord is off, I don't have to be that fastidious. I don't need to uncover that tummy anymore. So we do that with the newborn, And I also then bring the ruffle out so that it's a poo catcher.
Right. I just saw a video on that.
And so she's in.
Yeah, easy enough.
Yeah.
So then how do you know about, like, what's the deal with, like, all these creams and...
Booty creams?
Everything. I don't know. There's all these ointments. Yeah, and like, how do I know if I need the Aquaphor, the diaper cream?
Or ask
the
your pediatrician cream. What they prefer. Mm-hmm. Aquaphor is Vaseline as well. But, so there's others that some people like better. So when your baby's first born, we really like to have something that's just natural. So an olive oil-based one that like
what
mother
about
love,
coconut oil?
Earth, Mama, Angel, Baby. There are some that are coconut-based. So we start with that. But if your baby's still really sore around that rectal area and getting really rashy, then probably needing to move up to something with zinc oxide in it. So which is water, not water-based, and it's more... water resistive. Mm-hmm. So, but you can ask your pediatrician what their favorite is. But pediatricians don't want you to use anything on your baby.
Oh, so we don't even have to. We're using a baby wipe to clean.
Or we prefer, we put it in here, we put cotton wipes that you use real water, regular water on. You can
especially
have water wipes. So when your baby has a stool, then you do need to use soap and water. And you, instead of rubbing hard, you pat. Yeah. I also like real washcloths. We sell five packs of little tiny washcloths that are very thin. Mm-hmm. Having water, so my preference for young babies is to have a place to change them near running water. So if you have a space between two sinks in your bathroom, you can put a fold up a towel there and make a place to change the baby. I had a house with several levels, so I made a place on every level. My daughter used a thermos thing with a pump on top. You know the things that they have at Starbucks? She filled that with hot water and had that near her changing station. So she used more soap and water. The wipes have been vastly improved, so it's okay if that's what you choose. And
just
cleaning
them. It
just
seems easier.
It is easy.
Okay.
Especially if you're out and about. I mean, you're gonna buy the Kirkland wipes.
But if your baby just
at some point,
don't use them if your baby. So every time your baby urinates, you don't have to wash them.
Oh.
That can break their skin down.
Mm.
If you want as a new mother to use a water wipe at that, you could.
Uh-huh.
But you know, experienced moms don't. They just change
just
the diaper.
So just a blotting with like a cotton tissue.
You don't have to
do
anything if they've just urinated.
We're just changing a wiper.
Yeah, you can just change the diaper, but at least once a day you need to get soap and water on, which is a piece of cake with a breastfed baby because they stool a minimum of 3 times. A day.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them stool almost every feeding. So you're using soap and water almost every time. You know what else I liked? When you have a high faucet on like a laundry room sink or something, I like putting my baby on my arm, like I showed you already, and just taking them under the water and give them a little soap and rinse under there. I thought that was nice too.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different ways. But water wipes are nice for just a skid mark, you know, just a little smear.
And then how often are we doing baths for the first few weeks?
You know, there's no rule on that. But I liked bathing my babies almost every day because I liked how they smelled and how their hair was fluffed up because we make them all greasy with our hands on their hair.
And like if they're constantly having blowouts, you know,
it's
don't you want to wash that away?
Yeah, it's kind of nice to soak their tush.
Yeah.
And in the water. So,
and it's like a nighttime ritual, too, right?
It can be any time.
Bedtime routine. Sleep.
Yeah.
Especially if they become toddlers.
As they get older, a bedtime routine for sure. But as a newborn, maybe you're more resilient. They are in the morning. So it doesn't matter. It's whatever you guys want to try. And you work it around till it works for you. So as newborns with cord on, they get sponge bathe only. And they don't care for that much. They don't like being cold and wet.
Okay. Class covers all this as well, so in the video.
So, but once the cord is off, then they can be in the tub, and you can even bathe them with you. There's a rule.
Yeah.
You can't step in and out of the tub with the baby in your arms. So either lay them on a towel outside the tub or your partner hands them in. And I like a tub that allows me to let that baby come down into the water there, so it's clear up over their belly, and they're warm. So I'll show you that in the class too. So I'm looking for that in a bathtub. And I loved, so if you bathe them 2 or 3 times a week, that's going to be adequate. I'm sure there's cultures that don't, and they're fine. So, but I like them all. They smell so good.
Yeah. I have a question from a father.
Okay.
Sort of in this air, in the diapering area. How can I desensitize myself to bad smells, aka my kid's shitty diaper?
Okay,
or a mask.
Well, first of all, if your baby's breastfed, then it isn't foul.
Oh.
So that's kind of, it's pungent, kind of, I say sulfury, yeasty smell. So it isn't disgusting like yours, sir. but it does get that way when they start solid food.
Yeah. My husband gets so disgusted by my dog, cleaning up after my dog.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it's terrifying me because I'm like, you know you're going to be doing that all day with the baby. And he's like, but it will be different because it's my baby.
And it will be. I agree with that.
Okay.
They'll throw up on and, you.
And I'm like,
whatever.
Shut up. Get over it. Yeah, I'm like getting angry at him.
Yeah. And not only, I mean, and you have to do it. So he just laughed through it and go, now that was disgusting. What did they eat today? That was, woo. Yeah.
Don't ever go anywhere without a spare outfit. You know, never, ever, ever.
For yourself. Okay. For yourself. Huh? For yourself. We have one,
you too.
One blog that we wrote about breastfeeding on an airplane. And the most very important thing is to always have a change of clothes for you.
Because they'll spit up.
Well, they'll know. They'll poop all over you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They leak. They leak. Yeah. That's the thing about a baby. They make you. You do a lot of laundry because there's a lot of wetness.
Yes, I hear about.
They spit up. So they poop. Laundry. They pee. They you know. Oh, and little boys and they are good at urinating all over the place.
Right.
And it's really important to understand that urine is sterile. Mm-hmm. Not so much stool, but urine if it gets you. And a little girl can shoot urine sick really far too. And they can all shoot stool because it's loose and liquidy. And babies bear down and lean into it. And when they feel something, they really go for it, you know.
Do you recommend a wipe warmer? I hear that avoids
shooting. I think they can be fabulous, but I don't need it.
Well, it is,
I think it's also, we have it in the store. We have a wipe warmer. We have a bottle warmer. But what we say is you're not always going to be at home using it. Mm-hmm. So if all of a sudden baby's at home and they're having warm milk and warm wipes, and then you're out on the road and they're like, oh, what's this cold thing?
So it's nice,
but it's not necessary, you know?
We'd so if somebody's on a budget, they don't need one. Yeah. And you can hold it in your hand and warm it up a little bit, but sometimes you don't want to do that. And they don't like cold stuff, so it can be nice.
Right.
It can be really nice.
Right.
I have another question.
Good.
How to successfully breastfeed after a C-section?
Same as anybody else.
Okay.
And that was not a good answer. So let me move forward. You are going to be in the hospital a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. You're going to have more help, hopefully. Hopefully there's lactation people and nurses that know what to do. You're going to need help positioning your baby the first hour. So having your partner stay. When my daughter had her second C-section, her husband went home to take care of their first child and I stayed and helped her position, got the baby out of the bassinet. So you're going to need that kind of help. But amazingly, women are on their feet in 24 hours or less, moving around fairly easily. And milk can come in just like 8 hours later, might be, but it shouldn't make any difference in that. So the recovery is really good. You might need a little bit more help at home because you're not going to be up doing all those physical activities. But boy, the recovery goes pretty well, pretty quickly.
Okay.
It's amazing to see how well.
I think it's more, I had a C-section, emergency C-section, like your friend actually. Same issue.
All my girlfriends seemed to also have
that story. It was basically getting her up, picking her up, going upstairs.
Yeah.
That's where I struggled.
I would imagine it's because you're sore recovering.
Yes.
You are sore,
yeah.
But it's amazing how quickly women heal. It's it's impressive. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you're going to maybe need to think, if you know ahead of time that you're having a C-section, that you might need a little extra help at home. But it could be just you and your partner, and he's just on board, and he picks up the baby and brings it to you, and pretty soon you're doing it yourself. So I don't mean to belittle that it could be a little bit harder at first, but it usually isn't much harder, and moms just need a little more help.
You know, another thing we didn't postpartum doulas. We have a team we worked with prior to COVID. They were in house and now they're out of house and we refer to them. But if you can afford to have a little extra help, like we say, the postpartum doulas, because you learn this on a doll, it's totally different doing it on a baby. And if someone can be there to help guide you, educate you, support you, advocate for you, it's that extra help. And we actually say that you shouldn't need a postpartum doula for 6 months. A postpartum doula's job is to work themselves out of a job.
It's just like for those transitions.
It could be like 72 hours is a normal contract. That's what most people do.
That's
72
hours. So you're just learning.
3 days a week, maybe 3 to 4 hours.
Well, the good thing about
something like, you know, but it's just someone there to help again. But you may have a grandparent there. That's what
you don't need to do.
I know I'm having my mom come, but my husband said, I don't want her to come the first 2 weeks. I just want it to be us bonding, and then she can come.
And
what do you think about that?
I think it's lovely.
Okay.
I think it's
lovely. She was
lovely.
Like, oh.
It's if you can say no to her. It's the dynamic. But that's if you're covering that up front.
Yeah.
Isn't it a great era when men can say that and honestly mean it? And my dad, my mother said the only thing he ever did was honk the horn.
Oh, you know, totally. I was like, I need you, like, for those first couple weeks. And, like...
Right. And if you suddenly decide mom would be a big take help, because a grandmother can also help the partner, mm-hmm. help your partner, help feed him. And because you guys can get really tired. You can always put an emergency call in and say, okay, Mom, get out here.
Well, and also, if he does he work? Is he going back? When's he going back to work? And maybe
two that's weeks when later I is thought. Better, so. Yeah.
But just again, the two of you together, there'll never be an experience like this again. Even when you have your second child, there's another human there. So I was just going to add about the doulas. Doulas do have some major training in order to qualify as a doula, where some of the caregivers out there, like baby nurses, I'm not dissing baby nurses as a whole, but some of them are not knowledgeable on the things that you need to know. They're self-proclaimed experts, and some of them are marvelous, but some of them are... The moms are calling us from the closet saying, what do I do? This woman's killing me. I don't want her to take my baby. I got to tell you, Chelsea, for me, I didn't want anybody else taking care of my baby. My partner and I, and my mother, yes. But even a grandmother's job is not to hold the baby. Mm. Her job is to take care of you and to get the food and it's just
dishes, go to
if
the
you
store.
Ask her, if you want her, then you know, when it's my daughter, I could step in a different way.
It
than
does feel
a
like
mother-in-law.
More like support for me.
That's what
it is.
Yeah. Right.
She brings you a drink.
Doulas do that as well, too. Mm-hmm. Some doulas, their job is to also help care for mom, not just the baby.
When do you suggest starting with a postpartum doula?
Most people do it the day they get home from the hospital.
Oh, really?
But occasionally we find somebody that is struggling and then calls us and says, I'm struggling. Yeah. I would like a doula now.
So how long do they typically stay?
Contracts are about 72
literally,
hours.
We've had contracts.
Straight?
72 hours. No, no.
No.
Usually a 72-hour contract's the average, and it could be 3 to 4 hours a night for 3 to 4 weeks for three nights. We've had clients that have done, 2,000-hour contracts. The thing we love about the postpartum doulas is they do support the whole family unit. And what they'll do is they will basically, again, help you with baby help you with breastfeeding, help you with different things.
Help you with what you want help with.
Right, what you want help with. It could be do the dishes for me, whatever, whereas
so I had a mom yesterday.
Just take the babies, go watch them, and you see them the next morning. That's not what we love.
That happened yesterday to a woman in my support group who's pregnant. And her question was, the baby nurse that I'm hiring has already told me that she'll feed the baby through the night. She's not gonna be able to breastfeed if that's the case.
Right.
So she said, how do I control that? I said, you are the boss.
You're paying her.
And we had a lovely talk about why, what I've told you already about if you don't nurse, you're not gonna have a good milk supply. You're gonna have to get up to pump if you're gonna do that. And again, the mother heart, and I said, I don't think it's gonna feel right to your mother heart. Mm. Your mother heart doesn't want somebody else doing that. So I think everybody has to figure out what works for them.
It was listening to, again, your podcast with what I, again, was very impressed with Alex was when you asked her about sleep training. She said, well, I hear this, I see this, I would, but I kind of just, I just let her sleep. And there were different, places where she had sleep regressions and things like, but it was like you could tell, and she goes, I don't know if that's right. And
I
so what
her.
I loved about, again, what she did is there were certain things that she's like, I'm not sure if that's right, but it felt right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, like I said, like, that's what it should be.
Yeah, you figure it out as
learn,
you go and listen
in,
to your intuition.
But until you bring that baby home, you don't know.
I think today's parents struggle with being in touch with their intuitions and their hearts.
Because they're so used to, like, getting outside information from people.
Too much.
And not necessarily from the right people.
So I know a pediatrician whose father is also a pediatrician, and she said one night her father heard her take call. And he said, are you kidding me? Are those parents asking you those questions, really? He said, not in my day. Mm-hmm. They're so afraid because there's so much out there that it, and she called it noise. There's so much noise around this that you don't know what to do. So finding your path in your heart, your husband, your partner through and going, that isn't what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or that is what we want to do. So we do talk about sleep training in the baby care class from the point of view that it's really important for us to know when babies are ready for that kind of thing. Until babies have object permanence, it's not a good time to do it.
What's that?
Object permanence means when you go out of the room, they know you still exist. So if I hold a rattle in front of a baby's face at 3 months old, and then I hide it behind my back, it's gone. He doesn't go looking for it. But when he's 8 months old, I hold it and I put it behind my back. He's going to go look for it.
Yeah.
And then we can play peekaboo and all those kinds of games. So we would say waiting at least 6 months. So, you know, somebody called me one day and said, I'd love to work in your store. And I said, well, what do you do? I sleep train. And I said, well, tell me about that. I get him sleeping through the night by 2 weeks. It's like, well, see ya. Well, because a baby sleeping, what is sleeping through the night? So sleeping through the night in a baby is 5 to 6 hours. I had a mom again on the support group yesterday who was talking about her baby was 5 months old and is sleeping 12 hours. And I said, oh, no feeding and on. Oh, no. She said he gets up twice at 1 o'clock and at four. So sleeping 12 hours punctuated by two little feeds is normal.
Right.
So when people expect, there was another time they came and got me because the lady was crying up at the desk and said, Corky, there's a lady that needs you. And so I came up and I said, what's going on? She said, well, I just came from a mommy and me class. It wasn't ours, but she said, I got to sleep train my baby and I just didn't want to do that. I said, well, tell me about your baby. She said, well, she's only sleeping 10 hours. And I said, what do you mean? Is she really sleeping all 10? Yeah, she sleeps 10 hours. And they said, oh, no, it's only normal if they sleep 12. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And I hugged her and said, get out of here. Right. You know, you're so fine.
Yeah.
You're so fine.
What I think, too, is because we've got therapists who focus purely on the family unit. We have nurses who first on the baby's thriving, and there's just a lot, and you can't. So the other biggest thing I hear amongst our experts is that, like, a mom might say, okay, I need to get sleep. I want to sleep train my baby, but I want my baby to breastfeed exclusively for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you need to speak to a lactation consultant, because if your milk supply can't support so there's just a lot at work, and that's where the experts can
really
help.
And we might
you.
Even disagree a little bit. Right. Jill Campbell teaches two wonderful classes, and they're Zoomed, so you can go, on how to get your baby started in good patterning for good sleep, and then a later one for when you're struggling, and she does sleep work. So she and I might not approach it the same way, but I actually had her work with my daughter and son-in-law when they were home from Germany, because their baby was such a difficult sleeper, and they were able to incorporate some things that I was really impressed with and help their baby sleep as an older child. They actually had a clock set and that lit up when he could nurse again, and he would sit up and look at that.
And, that, I mean, is
it was
so
the cutest
cute
thing. Yeah. Aww. It was really great. So we all agree to work together for the best of what's best for every parent couple, but we're advocates for babies for sure. And for parenting, and everybody needs support. Every baby's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well,
so different.
Again, you and your partner, like, having the conversations, discussing, being on the same page, so that whether it's the grandparent who's disagreeing with you or a friend who's telling you something else, you can make a decision together and not be like, because that's, just add that to that, is messy, you know?
It's so important. And we've had many times when a father had to deal with his mother, because the mother was driving his wife crazy. So you really do need him or your partner, she, to be that advocate.
Right.
For you and for the baby. And I think they love hearing that and stepping into that role. They really love the baby care and breastfeeding classes. Like, you know, when I taught in person, I used to say, you know, how come you guys are here tonight? And they'd laugh and go, I don't know. And I always ask them, do you think somebody could actually talk for 3 hours about breastfeeding? They just can't believe that. At the end of class, I say,
still
see,
sitting there.
See, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they stay on a half an hour after the Zoom call just to ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much.
And
to
I think
know.
They want to find their role too, because I think I know that so much is the mother and the baby, so they want to be like, how can I be helped? Hopefully.
Right.
And they do love
so
feeding the baby.
Yeah.
They love feeding the baby. So we like that they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not all the time, but they can do that relief.
Yeah. So then as we just wrap up, can you just let our listeners know the types of classes and workshops that you offer that they can check out on your website?
Prenatally, we have the Baby Care 101, which can be taken as 1 4-hour shot on a Saturday, or I teach 2 Tuesday nights in a row, and those are 5 hours instead of four, so it's a little bit longer.
Two breaks.
And we have a prenatal breastfeeding. That's really important. That's a 3-hour class. We have CPR, terribly important.
Mm-hmm.
We have childbirth education.
Yep.
Those are the prenatal
sleep
class.
Getting off to a good start is offered prenatally.
Amazing.
And then postnatally.
But postnatally as well.
Yeah. We have basically, there's hot topics we do that might cover like first foods and things like that. But our Parent and Me program starts when babies are about 5 to 7 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And what's fabulous is you get grouped with other parents of babies born within about 4 to 6 weeks of each other. So you're going through developmental milestones together.
That's great.
I can honestly say that I'm still best friends with people I met 14 and a half
me
years
too.
Ago. And mom, you are from 15
I'm playing
years
pickleball
ago.
With two of my best friends tomorrow.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
You know, it's pretty amazing. And then the other big one is, you know, breastfeeding support group. We recommend people come to one prenatally so you can see what the moms talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's virtual still. And then afterwards, it's every Tuesday at 1:15. It's free. Corky does that virtually. And it's a great, so that stuff our Parent and Me program, we have 80 weeks of curriculum through the first 2 years of baby's life. And so it's very comprehensive. And
even
robust.
Driving from Los Feliz, people do it all the time.
Yeah.
And they come down to Santa Monica area and they go walking on the beach and they all go out for lunch. And as the world is opening up again.
We do have Mommy Me here, though, in Hollywood.
Because
one of our teachers, we used to have a store here.
When can you start Mommy Me?
When baby's about 5 to 7 weeks
but
old.
Go ahead and sign up.
I'm so excited for that.
You know, they're filling so fast that signing up prenatally ahead of time around your baby's due date can be important.
Okay. Which we can cover more of that. So.
Yeah. But, and this is all found on the pumpstation.com?
In the website, on the pumpstation.com, correct, yes. And basically, anybody can call the store, 310-998-1981. We're there 7 days a week.
And one other service that I want you to hear this. It's so important. 75 to 95% of people don't have the car seat in right, don't have the baby in the seat right. I correct almost every baby in the seat that comes in the store. And so please, if you don't buy your seat from us, you can still come to us. He'll even help you virtually. But coming down to that store and getting that car seat installed with him and with your partner, it's worth it.
I definitely want to do that because I have the BritTax.
Yep. Which one did you get? The Be Safe? Probably the Be Safe.
The travel system?
Yeah, probably. Well, the Be Safe is the infant seat, and then probably,
Oh,
yeah. So when Kate sent you.
Yes. Yep. So I know that you carry that one there.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we carry almost
thank
all
you, Kate.
Of them. And even if we didn't, we would know how to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
He has all of them. He installs.
Yeah.
And we,
himself.
In the Baby Care 101, we also teach it there. He comes on. In person, if it's Saturday, virtually, if not, and goes through the major things that parents need to know about putting in a car seat and baby in the car seat. So
so important to do.
So
I don't want to leave the hospital and be like, wait, what?
Well, we want you to practice at home with your dog or a stuffed animal.
There was only one more thing I wanted to share with you.
Yes.
From listening to your talk with Alex, when you were talking about
Alex,
the hospital.
Alex, the star of the podcast. How she got lobster
talk
about filet mignon.
That part. I was a little jealous hearing about that. Being from New Hampshire, I would have loved that lobster.
But not their first day
but
after
one of the things when she was talking about, you're talking about Pitocin and all this, and my thing, and this is funny because Corky's son, her second son, is a cardiothoracic anesthesiologist. So I will never forget, what I tell moms is, okay, when you're in there and the anesthesiologist comes in, introduces himself to you, okay, and says, I'm going to be right outside that door. So when you're ready, just let them know I'm right outside that door. That does not mean he's right outside that door.
Okay?
Right. That means if you think you're going to need it in 5 minutes.
Is this that epidural that you're talking
about?
Yes. Okay.
You should have asked 20 minutes earlier.
Ooh,
so I literally held on because this guy told
why
me.
Why do people wait for it? I want it right away,
because,
I think,
well,
right?
No,
well, that's up to you.
Depends.
I mean, I had
all,
my kids.
You think you can take more pain. And then
I'm
you
ready
realize
for that
you can't.
Painkiller.
But the way I look at it is when you
it slows
you
down.
Handle so much,
can't be done too early.
If you think you're starting to feel the pain and your tolerance is, get them in there now, because that's actually 30 minutes away.
I had my kids.
Good tip. Very good tip.
I tell everyone that, and they go, what? I'm like, just.
No, that's good to know. Like half hour out.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But you don't know always how that's going to go. I mean, I'm also an old labor and delivery nurse, so you cannot give it earlier. It slows the mother's labor down too much, and so we don't want that to be the case. Not only that. You might tell you that. I had natural childbirth, so there's always that. But it's your path and what you want to do, and you're going to be fine in any case.
Also recommend, is that where the Lamaze breathing techniques come in?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer in that as well, and taking the childbirth prep, which is really shortened down now, but you really benefit by taking a childbirth class.
Yeah. We have hypnobirthing and we have childbirth prep, which is more of a fusion of several different disciplines.
Yep.
So, and all that information I sent you this morning as well.
But you don't know what your variables are going to be. Right. My daughter had two emergency C-sections, and she didn't want that. She wanted to have an unmedicated birth. Didn't work out for her.
Yeah, that's why I love the idea of birth preferences rather than
plan.
It's smart to play heads-up ball and be ready for that. Yeah. Yeah. But if you need it, get it.
Yes.
I'm a wuss with pain, so. Just
like, I know, me too. I don't
to this day think back to that going, he lied to me.
Thank you so much for coming on, Cheryl and Corky. It was so nice
to
meet you.
Thank you for having us. Our privilege, our pleasure, our delight.
You said you'll have Corky's cell phone and you've got mine, so.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're in good hands.